Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So it's Friday. We have this new segment where we're taking time to reflect on some of the biggest headlines from the last few days. And ooh, what a week it's been.
Yeah, all eyes focused on America after the first 2020 presidential debate. Nothing like we've seen before. President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden arguing, name-calling. They were like two characters on the Muppets, you know, Waldorf and Statler, the two old men.
So this is pop music? You know what? It's not half bad. Nope, it's all bad. Oh!
Gosh. Yes, that and lots of very shocking headlines across the world, actually, reflecting on the story. The world reacting then and leaving some countries questioning the state of American democracy and the US's place on the global stage. In fact, in one article that I read where they were talking to Americans on the street, Americans said, "We feel like a foreign country won this debate."
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to check in with a good friend of ours, Steve Oaken, senior advisor at McLarty Associates. Now, Steve served in the administration of President Bill Clinton as Deputy General Counsel at the U.S. Department of Transportation from 94 to 99. So he knows politics. Steve, good morning.
And I know the Muppets, too.
Steve, at which point during the debate did you start saying, no, oh my God, what is going on? Like, how many minutes did it take you before those comments came out of you?
Oh, easily in the first segment. And look, we have to put the blame where it is. And, you know, Donald Trump just steamrolled the rules. He steamrolled the moderator. And most concerningly, he's steamrolling the U.S. electoral system. And that's the most troubling part of that debate.
Yeah, that certainly came across. So the Commission on Presidential Debates has promised changes after this chaotic Trump-Biden face-off. I mean, people have been giving their own ideas, haven't they? They're saying, oh, you should just turn off the mic or whatever it might be. But I mean, it's quite something when they have to come out and say that.
Well, it is. And look, you know, some of these solutions, you know, if the contestant talks too long, you know, turn off the mic. You don't turn this into a game show. I mean, you know, if Donald Trump steps too close to Joe Biden, you're not going to dump a bucket of slime on his head, right? That's not what this is about. And what the commission needs to do is make sure the debate focuses on the issues. And if Donald Trump doesn't agree to that, then just don't have the debate. And the most important thing I think the commission can do is not give him a platform to attack the integrity of the vote, because if we get thrust into a constitutional crisis because Donald Trump convinces people that vote by mail is illegitimate and fraudulent, then the country and the world's going to be in much worse shape than just being a laughingstock, which is what we came out of after the first debate.
Yep, Steve. Well, I'm very, very quick one because we've got so many stories that we want to talk to you about. What role are these debates supposed to fulfill at the end of the day?
They're to set up that Donald Trump can say what he wants on the issues. He can call Joe Biden whatever name he wants, and Joe Biden can either respond or focus on the issues too. But what they're not supposed to be is a platform where you have up to 80 million Americans watching and then thinking that the election is not going to be legitimate. So you can't control what Donald Trump's going to say, but you can make sure it doesn't attack the integrity of the process. And I think that's what the commission should be focused on right now.
Right. Trump himself has declared himself the winner, and he has talked about how he's not very happy that there might be some changes going in. He said, you know, he tweeted, why would I allow the debate commission to change the rules for the second and third debates when I easily won the last time? The thing is, I know a few people who fall under President Trump's voter base, and some of the comments I've seen on social media, they saying that, wow, that's the president knocking out Joe Biden and knocking out Chris Wallace. I mean, who are the winners and losers, or is everyone a loser here?
Overall, everyone is a loser. But I mean, I think what you saw coming out of the debate and the reactions is how partisan the country is, how Trump's core supporters are going to stick with him no matter what. Trump will ultimately be a loser if he turns off a few people who say, you know what, I don't want four more years of this. I like what he's done on immigration. I like what he's done on appointing conservative judges. I like what he's done on cutting taxes and regulation, but I can't take another 4 years. And there are some people who I think could come away from the debate with this, and he did hurt himself. This was an unforced error on his part on those middle voters.
Mm. So there are a lot of people listening right now who are still trying to, I mean, obviously to watch something like that, the words that come to mind are reality TV, because you see something like that playing out, and some people want to walk away from something like that, and some people feel really engaged. But I want to talk about what it actually means, apart from the watching value, to people here in Singapore and what this US election will mean for us. I felt like there was nothing in that debate that we really need to think about, but there could be in the upcoming debates on issues of trade, for example.
Well, if they do get to the substance, and let's hope they do, if they have these second and third debates. And I think you are going to see a much different foreign policy under a Biden administration than you would see under a second Trump administration. You know, where Prime Minister Lee talks all the time about how a smaller nation like Singapore needs a multilateral system to help achieve its means and to have that balance. And that's what Joe Biden is promising, that he'll come back to a multilateral system. He'll come back to Paris. He'll come back to working together against Iran. He'll come back to a multilateral trading system and supporting the WTO. He'll work with the WHO. It means a lot to Singapore if the United States is led by somebody with a multilateral approach as opposed to Trump's unilateral approach. And I think that's a good debate to have. And I think the American people need to hear it. And I hope we can have that debate next time.
Yeah, actually, the thing that if you don't really care about the U.S. election, trust me, whatever happens there affects the whole world. Steve, moving away from the election, still on the United States, though, we have the issue of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. They're trying to hash out this $2.2 trillion coronavirus stimulus agreement. Of course, analysts are slashing expectations of a deal before the election. For you personally, what are your thoughts?
I mean, there should be a deal there, I think, because it benefits both sides ultimately to have a deal, that you'll get one. Donald Trump is the president, and he has ultimate, you know, responsibility to negotiate a deal. I think the Democrats also want to see the support for their type of voters, their base, to get the type of support they need and the economic support they need with all the joblessness going on. So this shouldn't be political. There should be a deal. I think maybe with so much focus on the debate and the rhetoric there, that off to the side, the substance of a policy which both sides should agree upon can get done. So I'm a little more optimistic, I think, than most.
Yeah, well, we're certainly keeping an eye on the headlines, because we could hear anything anytime.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the spending within the government and the fact that we got this signing by President Trump of the stopgap spending legislation to avert a government shutdown before the election. So why has he waited until the last minute like this?
Well, that's unfortunately with the U.S. system now. This isn't a Donald Trump issue. The U.S. has no ability to budget anymore, and the Congress has completely fallen down, be it under Republicans or Democrats, to budget appropriately and have these spending bills passed so that the agencies are funded for multi-years instead of coming up every year and having to do these stopgaps. So this is just another sign of the breakdown of the U.S. system. And if it were President Biden 4 years from now, unfortunately, he might be doing the same thing if he didn't have the full Congress with him.
And very briefly, you've worked within an administration. What does it actually feel like when you're in that situation? Because we hear the words government shutdown, but a lot of us outside the U.S. don't know what that actually means.
Well, it means I got to stay home for about 2 weeks in the mid-90s at one point when there was a government shutdown. I mean, so the way it works is that every cabinet department basically gets its own authorization bill from the Congress funding it for the year. And if the year ends and that funding hasn't been reauthorized, then the government shuts down. The Congress in our system has the power of the purse. And if the Congress does not give funding to the executive branch to be open, the executive branch shuts down. And so that's what you're watching every day, you know, wondering, am I going to be able to go to work the next day, or am I going to have to stay home? And that's happened a number of times and more recently.
Last question, Steve. The last U.S. jobs report before November's presidential election is projected to show a sharp deceleration in labor market gains. This does suggest that the winner of the election will inherit an increasingly shaky economic rebound. Could you comment on, you know, the significance of that? And is this a situation that Joe Biden might be a little bit more familiar with than President Trump, considering he was in administration in 08, taking over a global financial crisis?
One, it's not significant in terms of the election itself, because really it's how people felt about the economy really in the second quarter is going to dictate how they think the country's going, not just what happens and gets announced. And this is the big debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump right now. Donald Trump says, I am the one who you need when we get this V-shaped economic recovery to make sure it is a V-shape, because Joe Biden doesn't know how to run the economy. He's going to tax you and he's going to kill any recovery. And Joe Biden is saying there is no V-shaped recovery. It's a K-shaped recovery, right? If you're wealthy, you're doing really well. And if you're middle class or lower, you're on a K, you're on that downslope of the K, and you're doing much worse. So you need me to make sure we don't have a K-shaped recovery. And this is a real economic debate. And I'll tell you, Americans right now slightly favor Donald Trump overall as being better to handle the economy. Now, Biden's saying we're never going to get an economic recovery unless we fix the pandemic and address that, and Trump's incapable of addressing that. So you got to fix the pandemic before you fix the economy, and that's why I need to win. And that should be what the two are debating on stage and not calling each other names.
Oh, yes, yes. That is true. And by the way, how will you be voting? Postal vote or at the embassy?
Well, I'm a Washington, D.C. is the last place I lived, you know, before I came here, and they take it email. So I am emailing my vote in to the District of Columbia, where it absolutely won't matter because Biden's going to win by about 98% in the District of Columbia.
Okay, Steve, we know where your allegiance lies.
Either way, it doesn't matter there. He's going to win that one.
We've been speaking with Steve Oak and Senior Advisor McLarty Associates. Steve, thanks so much for your time. Take care and stay safe.
You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.